Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us all gather here together and praise and worship you. Thank you for letting us figure out Acts Sunday and helping it go well so far. Please bless the rest of our time together and please touch the hearts of those who don't know you, Lord, and guide us as we try to lead the rest of the service. And please bless everyone's week. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. How are you guys doing today? Great. So I'm Noah Haddon. I'm the youth pastor here at Neighborhood Church. I'm really glad that you all are here. This morning is not only a really special morning because it's Acts Sunday and it's the day that our students get up here and they serve you and get to learn how to put on a church service, but because two of our Acts students that we have today are actually going to be baptized and have made a decision to follow Christ and then follow that command to be baptized after that. While baptism is not a requirement for salvation or to receive Jesus and God's forgiveness, Jesus does command us in Matthew 28 that believers should go out into the world, make disciples, and then baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so the baptisms today that we're going to witness are results of many believers before us following that command faithfully, and that has come down all the way to today, where we are going to continue following that command. And so baptism, if you're not sure what it is or never witnessed a baptism, it is a public declaration of one's commitment to follow Jesus with their life, and it is also a declaration of the faith that they have put in him for their salvation of their sins by grace and faith in him. And our church, by following the commands that Jesus has given us in the Bible, practices baptism after someone has put their faith in Christ. And as I said, we are going to have two students be baptized today. We're going to have one during this first service, and then we're going to have the other during the second service. So I would like to personally invite you that you perhaps stay and go through the songs again with us and stay for that second baptism so you can also witness and support that student in their baptism also. So at this time, I'd like to invite Liberty Bracken up to share her testimony of faith. I may have forgot to plug it in last night.
Yeah, it's okay. Okay. Oh, you got it? Okay, thank you. Hi, my name is Liberty. I'm 17 years old. Before I truly knew Jesus, I spent my time searching for some sense of meaning and purpose. I did believe in God, however, since I never went to church, the little belief I had was never reassured by anyone. I believed, and then I would question my faith and end up not believing. My faith in the past was a back-and-forth battle of my belief in God. I never was cemented in my faith because of this, and it was lost so easily. It took me some time to feel cemented in my faith in God. However, I'm glad to say what I feel about the Lord is now set in stone. I remember when I started opening my heart up to Christ. It was when I was watching one of my favorite news anchors. The man on the screen spoke as if he was speaking directly to me. He told me that having faith and giving myself to the Lord would fill my life full of meaning. Little by little, I began opening myself up to the Lord, and I began seeking him out. I wanted to learn more about the being that gave humanity and me life. I had begun praying and reading the Bible that had been stashed away in the bookcase for 70 years. The man on the news was right. The more I opened up to Christ, the more fulfilling life was. That's because life is empty without God by your side. I know the sacrifice God had made by giving his only son to die on the cross for me. I know the sacrifice Jesus had made for humanity by giving his life for us so that we may be saved from death. Now I will give my life to Christ and walk alongside him. This is my public declaration that my life belongs to none other than Jesus Christ, that I will give to him my full trust, and that I will follow him for the rest of my life.
All right, Liberty, I'm going to ask you a few questions and just answer them, and then we'll go for there. All right, first one is, have you embraced Jesus Christ as your Savior, Lord, and greatest treasure?
Yes.
Are you trusting Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sins?
Yes.
And by the help of the Holy Spirit, do you intend to follow Jesus Christ for a lifetime?
Yes.
Upon your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good morning. Hello and welcome to Neighborhood Church. I'm so glad you came out this beautiful morning. My name is Lydia Inman, and I am a newer face to Anderson Cottonwood Neighborhood Church, or it's not that name anymore. Oops. I'm a sophomore in high school, and I go to the youth group, but I also watch some of your kiddos on Tuesdays while the ladies have their Bible study. And something that I've noticed about this church is different is that it's more than Sunday. It's a family, it's a community, and we go out and help people. So if anyone would like to bring this message into the community, you can get a More Than Sunday t-shirt anytime during the week from our lovely office lady, Amber, for $20. Next, we have a neighborhood church softball team going on this summer, and they play Thursday evenings. So come out and cheer on our team. It's going to be at the former Crosspoint Community Church. And there's a schedule in the back of the bulletin for that. Next on the agenda, we have the Young Adults Missionary, and they're headed to Thailand this summer. They're going to serve a children's missionary so the missionaries can attend a conference. For the whole team, they need about $7,000 to be able to go. So if you can help donate, they would be so appreciative. And you can scan the QR code on the screen, or it's in the back of the bulletin. Label your envelopes and checks that it's going towards the Thailand team. We also have a men's breakfast happening here this Saturday, May 17th from 8 to 10 a.m. Come have breakfast with them. It's going to be good. Spend time with other neighborhood church brothers and feel free to bring a friend. Our Summer Against the Flow program, which is a version of Bible study or vacation Bible study for the youth entering 5th through 8th grade, will be June 10th and the 12th. You can register for that one now. It's in the link, but it's also in the back of the bulletin. As well as Vacation Bible School for the Youngers will be June 23rd through the 27th, so mark your calendars for that. It's going to be a really fun time for them. And if you're interested in volunteering, you can contact Cassie Cable. We need plenty of help to make this happen for our kids, so if you have the time to donate, thank you, we'd love that. Finally, if you're a Hope Alive sponsor, there's new letters from our kiddos out in the front, so be sure to go check the yellow box out front. Thank you.
My name is Russell. You might know me from trying to play the drums, but I'm a 12th grader. I go to UPrep. I'm really excited to be here. What I'm going to do now is invite all the kiddos up. We're going to send them off to Sunday school so that they can learn an age-appropriate lesson, and we're going to pray for them. So if you guys would come up. Good morning. Good morning. All right, let's bow our heads. All right, dear Lord, thank you for these kids, Lord. Please help them learn something of value today, and help them have a nice time at Sunday school, and please bless them and keep them safe today. Amen.
Sometimes the night was beautiful. Sometimes Sometimes the sky was so far away. Sometimes it seemed to stoop so close. You could touch it, but your heart would break. Sometimes the morning came too soon. Sometimes the day could be so hard. There was so much work left to do, but so much you'd already done. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my
Hi, my name is Gideon Gable, and I'm a junior at West Valley High School, and I'm going to be sharing my testimony. I've been raised in a Christian home, and I've always believed in God, and because of that, I just assumed I was going to heaven, and I didn't need to worry about the sins I was committing. I could just ask for forgiveness, and it would all be okay. And this mindset got me into a lot of trouble. The first thing that really sticks in my mind is in second grade, I took candy off someone's desk. And that seems small, but it paved the way for my sinful mindset. As I grew up, it got worse and worse. Went from taking candy to money from my parents. With all this sinning that I felt was okay, my sins just got worse rather than ending. When I was 12, I started vaping, and one thing led to another, and once I got to high school, I began smoking weed. I definitely knew the effects it could have on me. Especially as a runner, I could feel the changes in my health. But the desire for the high blinded my need for change. The addiction grew, and it went on for over a year. No matter if I got caught or got sick, I would continue. I was stuck, and I felt like I was never going to stop. I didn't want to, but God was at work, even if I tried to ignore it. As much as I thought I needed to smoke, I always had the thought in the back of my mind saying that I needed God. I would pray and repent almost every night, but I started to realize that I was only doing that because it was wrong, not because I was seeking a change. I knew I needed to get closer to God, so I began reading my Bible and writing a journal daily starting October 1st of this last year. And God began to work in my heart more and more. He was reminding me and teaching me things I thought I already knew but had forgotten or chosen to ignore. And I began to feel worse and worse, as I wanted to get closer to God, but still had this sin in my life keeping me from growing closer. I thought every day how I should quit, and I prayed and I asked God to help me, but I felt stuck in this addiction, and it continued. Now it's January, and I started a Bible study to hopefully find a closer connection with God and to help others. But as I began sharing what I've been learning and talking about how we should be acting, I realized that sin had to be cut out before I could grow with God. Psalm 37:5 says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act." This helped me see why I couldn't build a more personal relationship with God. I had to commit my life to him. And I knew some of the guys in my Bible study were struggling with the same things. And I was seeing that as much as I wanted to help them, I needed to take the log out of my own eye before I could start working on helping others. So finally, when I got over myself and my own desire, I knew I had to put an end to the smoking, and I figured it would be easier if I had some people to do it with me. So I brought it up in the Bible study, and we discussed doing it together. We decided to start March 1st. So I finally quit, along with some of my friends, and began to commit my life to Christ. I started to trust God, and all the heavy burdens I felt I was carrying just disappeared. I didn't have any urges or desires to go back to the addiction. I was finally finding peace. But it couldn't stop there. I was still telling everyone at the Bible study how we need to cut out everything that could cause us to sin. Isaiah 52:11 says, "Depart, depart. Go out from there, touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her, purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord." I realized I needed to do these things before I could ask anyone else to. So I began striving to cut out everything that I felt could possibly lead me to sin. So that started with the music I was listening to, the shows I was watching, just even the thoughts in my head. I had to cut everything out that could tempt me to sin. This was no easy task. It meant changing everything about my life. And that was hard in my mind. But once I gave it to God, everything became a whole lot easier. And ever since then, I felt God working in mighty ways throughout my life, helping me through hard situations and just guiding me and teaching me in so many ways. I've seen it a lot in my Bible study. As I've been preparing discussions, I'll pray and open my Bible to what seems like a random passage and begin reading. Then when it's time for the Bible study, before we start, we'll talk about the week, and the guys will ask questions. And then as we read whatever God's led me to, the questions are answered, and you can just feel God's presence working and answering every question we have and teaching us so many new things. And it feels amazing, and I'm so thankful to no longer feel like a slave to sin, but alive in Christ. Thank you.
Good morning, church. My name is Emmy, and I'm going to be singing I Surrender by Hillsong Worship.
I want to know. Good morning, church. Most of you do not know me. My name is Braylon. I'm a junior at Foothill High School, and I moved here a year ago on the 26th from Mississippi. I grew up off and on in church, and it all really depended on my mom's mood towards my Mimi. I've been baptized 2 times in my life. The first time I was about 7 or 8, and it was a couple weeks after VBS. I don't remember much about it, but I feel like I really only did it to get attention from my family. But that attention was short-lived. I continued my life in sin and only went to church about 8 times a year. When I was 12 or 13, things happened with me and my mom, resulting in me moving in with my Mimi and Papa. At this time, they had been watching church online instead of attending in person because of the lockdown. This was in 2021. Within a year, I moved back in with my mom and then back into my grandparents again, but this time for good, and this was in 2022. My grandparents started going back to Michael Memorial Baptist Church and basically had to drag me there every Sunday. Either I fell asleep or didn't pay attention to the sermon because I couldn't wait to get back home. One day I decided to go to Sunday school after church. It was fun, so I started going more frequently, and then I decided to go on Wednesday nights, but only for the pizza. I heard a verse that really spoke to me and encouraged me to pay more attention. John 16:33. I have told you this so that you might have peace in your hearts because of me. While you are in the world, you will have to suffer, but cheer up, I have defeated the world. Come September 2023, I met my best friend Jaylee in English too, and she came to a week-long intensive we were doing after school. I really felt a tug at my heart this week and was unsure where my relationship with God stood. So I talked to my youth pastor and prayed for a week straight. Then I realized I was only baptized and never saved because I never declared with my mouth that Jesus is Lord or accepted in my heart that he was raised from the dead as mentioned in Romans 10. A week after the intensive, my friend Jaylee and I were saved, and then 1 to 2 months later, we were baptized together. A little less than a year later, I moved here to live with my dad, and that's when I met a girl in my neighborhood that went to youth group here occasionally. She invited me to come with her one day. I met some amazing people that made me feel welcomed and almost at home. God works in mysterious ways. Just remember he has a plan for you, and he works in ways we may never know. So if you're ever doubting him because of a rough patch, just remember he may have something so wonderful planned out for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future."
My name's Jaden. I am a sophomore. I go to Lighthouse Christian Academy. Could everyone stand while I'm reading the word? For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasures of his heart produces good. The evil person out of the evil treasures produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. You may be seated.
Good morning, church family. Hasn't it been an awesome blessing watching these students get up here, share testimonies, lead worship, be real and honest in front of us? Yeah. So if you don't know me, my name is Jeremy Winkleman. I've been working in student ministries in the church, mostly in the high school group, for the last 18 or so years. Sometimes it's really hard and challenging. Sometimes it's extremely rewarding when you see the fruit that's produced from these kids and you see them grasp what you're wanting them to understand and learn. So it's my privilege to continue our series in Luke, and we're going to be going through the next passage, which is all about trees and fruit. And last week, Nick did a really good job with a tough passage talking about judging. In our current culture, that's kind of a hot topic, right? So today's passage has many different applications and directions that we could take it. We could get into judging our fruit and judging other people's fruit. And what we're going to look at mostly is evaluating our own lives and what is needed for us to be able to produce good fruit. Before we get into that, let's pray together. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing each one here. Thank you for these ACTS students who have given their time, their energy to serve you, to serve our church body. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word today. And I pray that you'll give me your words, that you will speak through me, that we will find application that we can use in our lives, God. Thank you for who you are and everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So our passage today, I'm sure, is one that a lot of us can relate to. Who here has picked any fruit at all? A lot of us have picked some sort of fruit, right? I've never picked figs, which are mentioned in our passage, but I have picked grapes as well as many other different types of fruit. And while I do like picking the fruit and eating the fruit, I don't excel at growing that fruit very much. But there's nothing like hot summer day picking a ripe peach off that tree and biting into that fresh peach. It's amazing, right? And this passage explains to us what might seem fairly straightforward. You're not going to get these figs from a thorn bush. You're not going to get grapes from a bramble bush. If your tree is healthy and good, your fruit will be good. If your tree is unhealthy or bad, then your fruit will be bad. When I think about actual trees and fruit, this makes sense. But what about when we apply it to our lives? What is good fruit in our life? What is bad fruit? Hopefully by the end of our time together, we'll have a better understanding of what that might look like and what that might be. But since this is ACTS Sunday, I wanted you guys to get a chance to feel a little bit more what it's like to be part of an ACTS service. So you're going to get some participation in our service today. We're going to play a little interactive game. And this game is called Yes, No, Maybe. And Dan Eckley told me this one was introduced by Don Howard many years ago when he was on the ACTS staff with Dan. We use it often as an emergency teaching method when whoever was supposed to teach Sunday school forgot that they were supposed to teach Sunday school. The very first time I was supposed to teach Sunday school 18 years ago, my keys got locked in the truck and I didn't make it to Sunday school. So I think they did yes, no, maybe. So the way that this works is I'm going to show you a picture and a caption that says it's good. And you have to agree that it is good with a yes, disagree by saying no, or a maybe, where you feel like you might be able to argue it one way or another differently. And typically, we would then ask somebody to present their argument. We don't have time for that. I already have way more prepared than the time they gave me. So we will just get into this. So as you can see up there, it says, yes, stand up. No, you can stay sitting. Maybe, just raise a hand. If you're standing or sitting, it doesn't matter. Just raise a hand if you think it's a maybe. So first one, it's fairly easy. Go ahead. We have a picture here of, it'll come. So, good? Is this good? If this is good, you can stand up, right? If it's not good, stay sitting. If you have no idea what this is, today's May 4th, and they say that is Star Wars Day. For those of you who are big Star Wars fans, they say, May the 4th be with you. So, is this good or is this bad? So, a lot of people say good. Okay, let's continue on through these pictures as we go. You can stay standing, you can sit, whatever you'd like. Because we're going to do some up-downs, get our blood flowing so we can all pay attention. So, good, we have an apple tree there. Is this good? Yeah, looks like good fruit. Continue clicking through those, Ryan. Good? Maybe if you got pigs and you need to feed your pigs something, right? But not necessarily good. Good? Bad? Maybe some people feel they can argue it, right? I see some hands out there. This one's up for debate, maybe. Okay. Good. Stand up. We're given some money in church, maybe. If you don't think it's good, if you think you could argue one way or another, raise a hand. All right. Continue on there. That looks good, right? A good platter of fruit. Okay. Keep it going there. Not so good anymore. Okay. This is out of Galatians 5. This is good. I don't see anybody standing. That's good. All right. Continue. Fruits of the Spirit. All right. This one's good. Okay. So at the end of those, I think that's all of them. So, you know, when you see that list, okay, go ahead and have a seat. Thanks for playing a game. When we do that with the Acts kids, you typically say the right side of the room is yes, the left side is no, and in the middle is maybe. And so we require them moving to opposite sides of moving. So that would have been too much chaos and taken a lot more time than we had in here. So thank you for playing the game and being a part of Acts. So this takes us to our first point. Our fruit reflects our heart. The fruit that our passage is talking about are words, actions, or attitudes. We're called to have good words, actions, and attitudes. So where does this good fruit come from? What is the good fruit and where does it come from? It comes from our heart. Good fruit are words, actions, and attitudes that come from our heart. When our heart has been regenerated and is abiding in Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us then, and we'll begin to reflect the fruit of the Spirit, which we saw in those verses in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These qualities might sometimes seem like they're more inside of us, but because of these qualities being inside of us, they come out in our outward actions. They come out in the way that we treat other people, our words and our attitudes. If our heart is in tune with God, with his plans, with his goals, with his glory, then this good fruit will begin to be visible in our lives. I really like the way that Proverbs 4:23 sums this up for us, and the NIV paraphrases it well. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do comes from it. Good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, it comes from a heart that is focused on God. So then what about bad fruit? Where does the bad fruit come from? What is the bad fruit? Bad is the opposite of good, right? Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker, Batman and Joker, that good fruit picture versus the moldy fruit picture. According to the Bible, we have fruits of the Spirit. That's the good fruit, right? But we also have the works of the flesh, which was that other list, right? Also in Galatians, right before the fruits of the Spirit, it lists off the works of the flesh. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, and orgies. We produce bad fruit when we are either not saved yet, we do not have a regenerated heart, or when we do not guard our heart, as that verse in Proverbs tells us to do. When we get distracted from God's plans, from his desires for our lives, we begin to bear fruit that isn't good. When we let our sin nature and desires of the flesh influence our words, our actions, and our attitudes, we will produce bad fruit. Good fruit are the things that come from a life through the help of the Holy Spirit, the work he's doing in our life. Bad fruit are the things that come when we don't guard our hearts, when we allow sinful flesh to influence our words, actions, and our attitudes. So both bad fruit and good fruit actually come from our heart. What we're producing depends on the state of our heart. So, how does God feel about the fruit that we are producing? How does God feel about your fruit? You know, I have a small peach tree in my backyard, and it's been there probably about 7 years, and it has a lot of branches that produce peaches. It has a few branches that look like they are dying or diseased, and they're not doing as good. Those of you who deal with trees, with gardening, and with things like this, you know what I should do with those branches, right? What should I do with them? Cut them out, right? Get rid of them. Why? gives the tree a better chance of producing fruit, of growing healthy. That's easy when we talk about trees. Let's talk about our lives, right? The fruit we are producing. Maybe you're like me, like my peach tree, where I sometimes look at the good fruit and the good things, and it's easy to ignore the branches that I have that aren't bearing fruit. The sins that I have or the things that I don't want to address, right? I don't want to cut those ones out because I like them or I hold on to them. I have some branches that might be dead or diseased that I need to pay some attention to. So what does the Bible say about it? What is God's perspective on that? It says in John 15:2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it might bear more fruit. It matters to God what kind of fruit we are producing, if it's good or if it's bad. And the biggest reason that it matters is because of the end of our passage there in Luke 6:45. It says the fruit, whether it's good or bad, it comes out of the abundance of our heart. So earlier we did this yes, no, maybe game, and you had this one picture up there. Most of us all stood up and said yes, right? Throw that one up there, I think. So yeah, we said yes to this one, right? And it's pretty obvious. A lot of us donate our tithes, give our tithes to the church. We say yes. But there is an example we'll look at real quick out of the Bible where somebody wasn't guarding their heart and they were giving. And we see it a little bit differently. And we know the Bible tells us man looks at the outward appearance. But what does God look at? He looks at our heart. He knows our heart, right? So this is an extreme example that we're going to look at in Acts 5:1-11. And we're not going to read it because, again, they told me I had 15 minutes and we've got at least 20 plus. So this is a story in Acts 5:1-11 of Ananias and Sapphira. They were a couple in the early Christian church, and they had sold some property, and they had decided they were going to give to the church. But they conspired ahead of time to only give a certain amount of what they brought in and keep some back for themselves, which, according to Peter, it seems like that would have been fine, but they said that they sold it for the amount that they gave. So they were lying. They were keeping a little secret, whether it was pride or what it was that drove them to do that. This is what they chose to do. Peter, through the Holy Spirit, he was told this isn't right, and he addressed Ananias and said, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? Both Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead in their tracks when they were faced with their lie and the condition of their heart. And I do think that's an extreme example. I know that we are not always going to do the right things, but I think this shows us how seriously God takes us guarding our heart, how seriously he wants to have a healthy church, a healthy tree with branches that are doing what they need to be doing. And that brings us to our next point. Our heart reflects the Spirit. When our heart is in the right place, when it is focused on God and his plans and his purposes, our actions will reflect the Holy Spirit's work. The first thing that's needed, it's a must, we can't bear this good fruit without it, is salvation. Right? We have to have a life that has been given over to God. We must be living a repentant and redeemed life through the Holy Spirit. Until we have done this, we're not going to be able to produce good biblical fruit. You know, there are a lot of good people in the world, good people, right, who are doing things that are good and can benefit others and benefit society, but they're not often doing it for the purposes of God's glory. So maybe you're here today and you've never heard too much about salvation. You might have some questions, and we're just going to run through a quick summary of what I'm talking about. And the book of Romans lays it out pretty clear for us that every single person is a sinner. Right? All have sinned. Because of that sin, we are unable to live in a right relationship with God. We know that because of our sin, we are deserving of death. That's the wages or the punishment for our sin. We also know that God sent Jesus. Right? He sent his son to earth. Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. He died on the cross, paying the penalty for our sins, and he rose from the dead 3 days later, conquering death and giving us the ability to accept that payment for our sin and have the right relationship with God after that. We have to admit that we understand that we are sinners and accept Jesus is the only way to have our sins washed away. As we grow towards God, we will then learn to yield ourselves, our flesh, our desires over and begin to bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit. If you have any questions about this, you want to know more, you want to look at these verses, I would love to talk to you. Noah, the youth pastor, would love to talk to you. Any of the elders of our church would just have a great time to sit down and open the Bible and discuss these things with you. So grab one of us after the service if you'd like. Our salvation and regenerated heart reflect the work of the Holy Spirit. Through the fruit of the Spirit, we're able to have our words, attitudes, and our actions filled with things that we saw in Galatians 5:22, the love, joy, peace, all the fruits of the Spirit. Once we have given our lives to God and we're trusting in Him, we have our salvation, we begin to produce that good fruit. But this is also when the work really starts. In order to produce good fruit, we have to abide. Abiding produces fruit. It's not a quick, easy process to grow closer to God, to live out the fruits of the Spirit. It takes work. Right? I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesus uses these analogies of vines and trees and gardens at times, because if you've worked a garden or worked with these trees, it takes work, right? You can't ignore your garden for very long before you're behind and you have weeds everywhere, or ignore your tree without pruning it and it's going to go crazy, right? You have to be continually investing in that. The same thing applies to our lives, to our spiritual walk. We have to be continually investing in that every day if we want to be bearing good fruit. Jesus says in John 15:4-5, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." You know, some of the ways that we abide, we refer to in Acts or in Sunday school as our Sunday school answers, right? Read your Bible, pray, talk to God, study your Bible, memorize your Bible, right? And sometimes those are like the cliche answers that we would give for anything, but they're also extremely true and relevant, and without them, you're not abiding. You're not growing. You're not producing good fruit. The more you do those things, the more you make it an intentional daily investment of your time, the more you're going to produce fruit. Another thing that we have to remember is that God's pruning produces fruit. God has a plan for each of us. He has fruit that He wants to see each of us grow and develop in our lives. And we mentioned this verse already, but John 15:2 says that every branch in me that yields fruit, God is going to prune. He's going to help it to bear more fruit. When you think about the pruning process for a tree, a vine, or different fruit-producing things, it can be invasive, right? It can be drastic or a dramatic process. You're cutting branches off. You're cutting sometimes branches that look like they might be okay out for the health of the whole tree. The pruning process in our lives is sometimes hard. It's sometimes ugly, right? It involves trials, hardships, things that are part of God's master pruning process that we need to trust. God is the master gardener in our lives. He has a plan, and if our heart is in tune with wanting to know what His plan is, we're going to grow through that pruning process. We're going to begin to become who He wants us to be and what He wants from us. And that brings us to our last point. Our life reflects the fruit of our hearts. Our life will reflect the fruit that is being produced in our heart. Our goal is to have that be good fruit. One way we can do that is by trying to live like Christ. We need to live out Christ's character. 1 John 2:6 says that whoever says he abides in him, which is Jesus, ought to walk in the same way that Jesus walked. So how did Jesus walk? Here's a few ways, and we're not going to read each of these passages because of time, but they'll all be up there. Jesus walked with compassion, Matthew 14:14. Jesus sought to do the Father's will in John 6:38. Jesus loved people that other people avoided, Matthew 20. Jesus was humble in Philippians 2:5-8 there. And Jesus prayed often, Mark 1:35 and Matthew 14:23. When our heart is in the right place, we'll be living more like Christ, and we'll be bearing fruit that imitates the life of Jesus. The next thing that we can do to help our life reflect the fruit of our heart is to go and bear fruit. Now, we've talked about the good and bad fruit. We covered that it all comes from our heart and the status of our heart. We know that we need salvation to bear good fruit. We know that we need to abide. We know that we need to be pruned, or that we will be pruned. If we want to live like Jesus and bear fruit like Jesus, the next step is go do it, right? Go bear fruit. Each of us in here have different skills, different abilities. We've seen some of them on display up here by the students leading worship. God wants you to use those skills and abilities to bear fruit. Maybe you don't know where your skills fit. Talk to a leader of the church. Talk to somebody and say, hey, I want to serve. How can I fit in? What can you do with what I have? When I think about our church and bearing fruit, I think about the many, many years that this Acts youth group has been going. The many different people who have invested in youth kids over the years. And to help us visualize this fruit, I'm going to have people stand up. Okay, so if I mention a category you're in, I want you to just go ahead and stand up. So if you are currently or ever were an Acts student, go ahead and stand up. So past Acts students, current Acts students, everybody stand up. We've got some generations in here, right, of Acts students. If you are currently or ever were involved in Acts youth staff, stand up. Anybody who's been involved in Acts staff, stay standing for those who were already up. We're all going to be standing mostly. So if you've ever helped Acts on a missions trip, gone to any of the different missions trips we've done over the years, then stand up. If you've loaned us your house to use for a party or for something, if you've given us a vehicle or a boat or a thing to use at some point, then stand up. You know, we have many Acts students involved here. We have them involved all around the country, and often we have Acts students involved in other countries. So if you look around, what this is fruit, right? This is fruit that our church has invested and given into students, and that has affected many, many, many generations. So, okay, thank you for standing. You can go ahead and have a seat. So what do we need to do personally? Each of us needs to look at ourselves. Do you see fruit? Evaluate it. Is it good fruit? Is it bad fruit? Is there some pruning that you need to do? Are you investing in abiding with Jesus? Are you surrounding yourselves with others who desire to bear good fruit as well? We need to be intentional to bear fruit. Let's be intentional to guard our hearts, and let's go and bear fruit. And so because it's May the 4th, I'm going to leave us with a quote from Yoda. I don't have a good Yoda voice, so I'm just going to read it. Bear fruit, Christians, you must. In your hearts, the Holy Spirit's work show it will. Through your actions, his presence reveal, you must. Now I think my son's going to come lead us in communion.
Good morning. My name is Jackson. I'm a junior at Shasta Charter Academy. Today, I have the joy of leading you all in communion. So my dad, or I guess you know him as Jeremy, he was just talking about bearing good fruit. One of the passages he mentioned is John 15:4-5, which says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." This passage is talking about how without the vine, the branch cannot bear fruit. If we don't abide in him, how are we to produce fruit? One of the ways Jeremy pointed out that we can abide in him is through fellowship. Communion is exactly that. We are one church party taking communion together to remind ourselves of what Jesus did on the cross. 1 Corinthians 10:17 says, "For there is one loaf, we who are many, who are one body, share the one bread." When we partake in communion, we are uniting our church body together. We are one body sharing together the sacrifice of Jesus. That is fellowship. That is abiding in Christ. And abiding in Christ produces good fruit. Communion is a wonderful way to remind ourselves of what Jesus sacrificed for us. It is a reminder that he died on the cross, taking the punishment for our sins, and rose again on the third day. It is a reminder that Jesus shed his body and blood so that we might be able to have a personal relationship with him be forgiven of our sins, and live in eternity with him. It is also a time of reflection. This is a time to recenter our hearts and mind on God and reflect on what he is doing in you. If you're a believer and are stressed out or overwhelmed about the things of the world or just feel disconnected from Jesus in general, I invite you to just take the time and recenter your heart on him. I would also like to remind everyone that communion is for those who have already put their faith in Jesus. So if you have not yet put your faith in them, I invite you to take this time to observe and to reflect on what Jesus did for you. Or if you feel led to do so, you can make the decision right now to put your faith in him. You can admit your sin and trust in Jesus for your salvation, and then you can join with your fellow believers in this room in communion. As the music plays, I invite you to go to one of the four corners of the rooms and take the cups. I'd like to remind you all that when we partake in communion, we will start with the bread and then take the juice. Luke 22 says, "And he, being Jesus, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's eat. It continues to say, "And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" Let's drink together. Would you please join me in prayer? Dear Lord, thank you for this day and this time that we can come, and thank you for your grace and mercy and forgiveness that you have shown us, even though we don't deserve it because of our own rejections of you. We thank you that we have this opportunity to reflect on you and what you have done and continue to do. We pray that as we go out from today, you can show your love through us, that we are able to go out and show your truth to the world, that others might find you and your truth through the way we live our lives. We thank you for everything you have done for us and have given us. In your name we pray, amen.
Hello, my name is Elijah Anderson and I am a sophomore at West Valley. I will be introducing the staff for today. But first, can I have all the ACTS students please come up here? Now, I'll introduce the staff. You have Nathan Warner, Kaylee Warner, Sarah Bennett, Cole and Bethany Bradio, who are not here, Nicole Widower, Nikki Haddon, Noah Haddon, and Jeremy Winkleman. Please join us in our closing song.